Alrighty, folks. It is 6 p.m., so we're going to go ahead and get started here. I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. My name is Kyle Packer. I'm a planner with the town of Oro Valley and tonight's facilitator. So I want to thank you for coming to the second neighborhood meeting for this office and drive-through development at the northwest corner of La Cañada and Naranja. As tonight's facilitator, I am a neutral party. My primary goal is to ensure a fair meeting and that everyone has an opportunity to speak and a voice tonight. So looks like we've got a pretty small crowd here, but do want to ask you to just take a moment to look over the ground rules on this slide and hold any questions that you have or comments until the presenters tonight have finished speaking. And then I just want to let you guys know that we will be transcribing your comments when we reach that part of the evening on a software system that will show up on this screen, I suspect. So we'll be taking those notes and turn them into a neighborhood meeting summary that will go to both the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as Town Council. Please note that we're scheduled to go no later than 7:30 p.m. tonight. However, if you have questions or comments after that, both staff and the applicant will be here afterwards to answer any further questions you have. And then just some final housekeeping notes. Be sure to silence your cell phones. And if you're looking for restrooms or water, they're going to be out these double doors to the right. So I'll take a moment just to review the info on this slide here. We had a first neighborhood meeting for this project back in 2019 in June. Then we received a formal submittal from the applicant, and staff have reviewed that for code compliance. And having gotten to that stage, we posted an informational video on November, so last month. And now we are at the second neighborhood meeting, which is being conducted both here in person tonight as well as online via Zoom. So we've got about 10 or 12 folks with us online. And I want to see, just by a quick show of hands, how many folks received a yellow postcard notifying them about this neighborhood meeting. Great. So that looks like it works. That is always good to hear. And if you didn't receive a yellow postcard and you want to get those for the upcoming meetings, including Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, as well as the Town Council hearing, be sure to sign in on the table if you're here with us in person, or if you're online on Zoom, please reach out to Hannah Oden at hoden@orovalleyaz.gov. Now, for those of you joining us online via Zoom, just for your awareness, if you're having any technical difficulties at any point in time, please feel free to reach out to another principal planner with the town, Michael Spaeth, at 520-229-4812, and he'll be happy to help you work through those technical difficulties. Now, I'd like to take a moment just to review the agenda for tonight. First, our senior planner for this project, Hannah Oden, who is the leading planner reviewing this project, will provide everyone with some background and context and history for this property, as well as the town processes. And then the applicant will be walking us through the proposal. It's important to establish that this is a request to develop private property and is not the town's proposal. It is the property owner's. And all property owners have the right to request review of their development proposals, and it's their charge to create, justify, and seek town council review and consideration of their proposal. Now, it is state law that the town is required to process these requests, and the town provides this service and requires applicants to hold neighborhood meetings such as this one early in the process, and as well as now at this stage in the process, so that there's the opportunity for you to provide feedback and comments on the proposal itself to help really inform the final proposed project. And that's another key focus of tonight. Is tonight's a neighborhood meeting, so the most important part of it is going to be to hear from you. So listed here on this slide are some of the concerns that you've identified in the previous neighborhood meeting back in June of 2019. You can see here that noise, the drive-through type and feasibility, traffic and safety, building heights, views, lighting, odor, and property values are all initial concerns that you've identified. And we'll likely see updates on how those have changed over the course of this project's design. And feel free to further discuss those or bring up new topics as well. Finally, this evening, I will be concluding with some next steps on how you can stay involved with the project after tonight. And at this point, I'd like to turn it over to our senior planner, Ms. Oden, for that presentation.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Packer, and good evening, everyone. Welcome. There we go. So I'm going to start off with just getting us oriented to the subject property. So the property is located on the northwest corner of the Naranja Drive and La Cañada intersection. It's outlined in yellow on this slide. It's approximately 2.8 acres. It's vacant. However, there's a drainage channel both on the north and west side of the property. The Copper Creek subdivision is located immediately east across La Cañada Drive. The Oro Valley Public Library is located directly southwest. The commercial development with the Brugger's Bagels is located directly south, and the Cañada Hills subdivision surrounds the property on the north and west sides. Now, I want to provide some history and background on the parcel. So the subject parcel is located within Area D in the El Conquistador Planned Area Development, or you might hear me refer to it as a PAD. So the El Conquistador PAD was approved by Town Council in 1983. This property was zoned for commercial uses at that time. So Area D does allow for commercial uses, and the property has had that zoning designation since 1983. Just some examples of commercial uses that are currently permitted on the property would be things such as retail, restaurants, or offices. A lot of the site, there was a lot of dirt removed from the site and was excavated for adjacent roadway construction. And so in order to bring the site back up to make it buildable to the elevation that we see today, there was a grading exception that was approved by Town Council in 2006. And as part of this grading exception, there were a number of conditions that were included as conditions of approval. A lot of it was related to, you know, screening, building height, conditions to really minimize impacts to the surrounding neighbors. So I'll get into one of those in particular in just a little bit further in my presentation. So this slide just shows some zoning standards, again, associated with the existing commercial zoning. The building height, so actually the zoning does permit buildings to be 34 feet in height. However, the building height is limited to 28 feet from that 2006 grading exception. There was a condition that limits the building height to 28 feet specifically on this parcel. The setbacks for this parcel, it's 25 feet from residential uses and 20 feet from public roads. So buffer yards, those are landscaped areas. It's a 15-foot minimum buffer yard between adjacent to residential uses and a 30-foot minimum next to public roadways. So in this case, that would be La Cañada Drive and Naranja. So the applicant is actually requesting approval of four different applications. So the first is a conditional use permit for the drive-through. Now, I want to make it clear that the restaurant component of the drive-through is a permitted use. However, all drive-throughs need a conditional use permit per town standards. And on this slide, we'll go over the site plan in a few slides in my presentation, but the drive-through is shown on this slide circled in yellow on the site plan on the right side of the slide. Second, the applicant is requesting to remove a condition from the 2006 grading exception related to screening. Third, a conceptual site plan package is required, and the applicant is requesting approval of that, showing the site layout, parking, landscaping. And again, the site plan is shown on the right side of the slide, and the office buildings that are being proposed are outlined in blue. And lastly, the applicant is requesting approval of conceptual architecture for the office buildings. Again, I'll go over these requests in a little more detail in the following slides. So the first request is for a conditional use permit. Again, that is required for the drive-through component of the drive-through restaurant, and it does require approval from town council. A conditional use permit essentially just provides an extra level of review for uses that may be more impactful to residents. So as staff, there's numerous review criteria that's in the zoning code that we review for with any CUP application. So the first is that the project is not detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare in terms of things like noise and odor. And as staff, we also review for compatibility with the surrounding neighborhood and for conformance with the general plan. The hours of operation may also not be negatively impactful to residents. As part of this application, a noise impact study has been submitted for the outdoor kiosk, so the order area basically associated with the drive-through, to ensure that the noise levels do meet town standards. And as with all drive-throughs, staff, we do review for traffic impacts, specifically relative to safety and circulation. Per code, for the zoning code, drive-through uses are also required to be a minimum of 250 feet away from residential properties. However, there is a provision in the zoning code that this distance can be reduced by town council when there are specific circumstances, such as maybe a busy roadway between the drive-through and residential property or a building. And so the applicant is requesting a reduction in this 250-foot distance based on these conditions on the site. Drive-through uses may also not be developed until at least 50% of the site is developed. So in this case, essentially what that means is that two of the office buildings will need to be built before the drive-through can begin construction. And then lastly, as with all drive-throughs, we do, as staff, there is extra screening requirements that we review for to ensure that the stacking lane and the order kiosk are not visible from public roadways and adjacent residential properties. The next request is the proposal to remove a grading exception condition that was approved by Town Council in 2006. So in particular, there was a condition that required a 15-foot landscape area outside of the drainage channel in addition to the buffer yard. So essentially, this landscaped area would be outside the buffer yard internal to the site. The condition also required a 6-foot screen wall with overlapping tree canopy adjacent to residential uses. So what the applicant is proposing, they're proposing to remove that additional 15-foot landscape requirement. And I do want to make it clear that the site design does meet the town buffer yard requirements. The applicant is using the drainage channels to count towards that to satisfy that buffer yard requirement. So even with the removal of the additional landscape requirement, the buffer yard requirement is met on site. The applicant is also proposing to remove the 6-foot screen wall adjacent to residential properties. However, the zoning code still requires a 5-foot masonry screen wall as well as overlapping tree canopy to screen commercial uses from residential properties. So even with the removal of the 6-foot screen wall, there will still be screening provided that meets zoning code standards. So the next request is a request for a conceptual site plan. So on this slide, on the left-hand side of the slide, is the original site plan that was presented to neighbors at the first neighborhood meeting back in 2019. And the revised site plan is shown on the right side of the screen, which is being presented tonight for discussion and feedback. So again, it's a site plan for 3 office buildings and a drive-through. And again, the drive-through is circled in yellow, and the office buildings are outlined in blue. So the site design that's being presented tonight is fairly similar to what was presented before. However, the drive-through has been shifted a little further north to allow additional room for vehicle stacking at the drive-through. Access is also proposed off of both Naranja and La Cañada, and the applicant will go into further detail during their presentation. So lastly, the applicant is seeking approval of conceptual architecture for the medical office buildings. There is no tenant yet for the drive-through, so that will have to be considered by Planning and Zoning Commission and Town Council at a later time. So for this application, it's just the conceptual architecture for the office buildings. So the architecture for the medical office buildings includes colors and materials that are found on adjacent commercial properties and blend in with the Sonoran Desert environment. And this slide just shows the front facade of 2 of the buildings. 2 of the buildings are the same, so they'll have the same front facade, but there is the larger building has a different one. So those are shown on this slide. So as staff, we do review for specific criteria with these types of applications. So criteria includes reviewing for conformance with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. We also review for compatibility with the surrounding area, as well as traffic and circulation, specifically in regards to safety. Also review for zoning code conformance, specifically with those conditional use permit requirements that I touched on previously, as well as drive-through requirements such as screening that I had mentioned. So Mr. Packer touched on this earlier in the presentation, but at the first neighborhood meeting, numerous concerns were raised relating to this development. So those are all listed on here. I won't go through each one, but noise, odor impacts, lighting, building impacts, traffic and circulation were key concerns. So tonight, obviously the discussion, questions, concerns are not limited to this list, but they have been shared with the applicant's representative, and we've asked them to be prepared to address these during their presentation. All right, with that, I will hand it back to Mr. Packer.
Thank you, Mrs. Oden. And at this time, I'll turn it over to Mr. Oland with Paradigm Land to walk us through the proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Packer. Well, I think the proposal has been walked through in quite a bit of detail. I just want to add a couple of things. Are my slides next? Okay, thank you. So as was mentioned, one of the main focuses of what we're doing is this coffee shop in the corner. And there's maybe some clarification on that 250-foot offset. The requirement is that the 250 feet is the minimum between the lease area or the property boundary within which the drive-through is proposed. At this point, we're not sure exactly where that lease area is going to be, so we've requested it just to be reduced from 250 feet. But that's not going to change the location of the actual menu ordering board, which is shown on this slide here. So it's right here, and I understand people online can't probably see that, right? But it's in the middle of the white dashed circle. And the menu board is actually over 250 feet from the nearest residence. You can see the nearest residence is actually to the east there, up on the hill, and it's a little over 255 feet. The nearest residence to the north is about 340 feet away, and the nearest residence to the west is about 380 feet from that ordering board. So the lease boundary around the coffee shop, It might, depending on which coffee shop actually comes in, the different tenants have different requirements in terms of what their lease boundary needs to encompass. Some of them say, we just want the building and the drive-through area and the outdoor seating area. Some of them say, well, we need to have some parking area also within the lease boundary for lending requirements, things like that. So point is, wherever that lease boundary ends up, this is where the ordering board will be, just in terms of where it needs to be along that drive-through lane, and it is more than 250 feet. So just wanted to clarify that in terms of the 250. We have conducted, or we've had Willis and Spendieri and Associates conduct a noise study. They're the noise consultants, acoustical consultants, who the town used to actually formulate their update to the noise ordinance a couple of years ago. So they're very familiar, obviously, with the requirements and with the standards that are within those that ordinance. So they conducted a noise study, made some recommendations about the actual acoustical controls that need to be placed on the menu board. And the fact of the matter is that modern acoustical controls can really be tweaked significantly to really limit the amount that the sound from that menu board goes out in terms of how far it goes, what the frequencies are within the sound that's projected from the speaker, so that it's really aimed at the driver who's sitting at the window ordering and it doesn't go out much further. I think a lot of noise ordinances having to do with drive-thrus obviously harken back to when drive-thrus were these loud, tinny speakers that didn't have much in the way of controls, and you could hear them across the street. But that's really not the case now with modern technology. So even so, we will, of course, be abiding by all of Willis's recommendations in that acoustical study. They ran the model with the proposed site plan and found that with those controls, with the buildings, landscaping, distance across the street, background noise, of course, which isn't a lot, but there are a couple of large streets right there that do provide some ambient noise. So that affects their calculations. But point is, their modeling and their report shows that we're well within compliance there in terms of where this is and zero impact on nearby property owners. There won't be any odors, of course, associated with the drive-through lane. So that's a non-issue. And the restaurant, of course, will have to abide by the town's odor control ordinances as well, even though that's already an allowed use. And then the last thing I wanted to clarify is just in terms of the traffic. So Ms. Oden mentioned access onto Naranja and also La Cañada. There's an existing southbound right turn lane on La Cañada. So we'll be extending that further north to provide some additional room for deceleration for people heading south, either wanting to enter into this shopping center or make a westbound right onto Naranja. There's also a turn lane will be installed on Naranja to allow drivers who are westbound wanting to go north into the shopping center to pull out of traffic and then decelerate and enter the center. So that's really all I have that wasn't already said. I'm not going to bother repeating a bunch of stuff, but I'll also be available for questions when that time comes. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Oland. We've now just about reached the time of the evening where we're going to open up the floor for folks both online and in person to speak. I just want to go over a few more things before we do so. As I mentioned, obviously, we're both here in person tonight as well as online. So the plan will be to have a few folks, anyone with questions in the audience here in person, you'll just raise your hand and then we'll go to you. And after we answer a few questions here in person, then we'll go online to see who has questions there and answer a few of those, kind of keep going back and forth until we've answered questions in both areas this evening. Now, for those who are doing Zoom, let me just get to the slides here. There we go. There are a few different aspects going on, so you'll need to use the *9 command to raise your hand if you're accessing via phone, and it looks like there is one person online tonight using the phone. Otherwise, if you're online with Zoom, but you're on your computer, you will use that raise hand icon that's circled and above the yellow arrow to raise your virtual hand, and that'll let us know that you're asking a question, and it'll also put you in the order that you raised your hand. So those who raise their hands first will be first in line to have their questions answered. Again, if you've got any technical difficulties with this process, feel free to reach out to Michael Spaeth, our principal planner, at 520-229-4812, and he'll be happy to provide you with some assistance. Now, I'd like to speak to folks here in the audience with us in person. You will need to use a microphone. Hannah Oden will be walking around with the microphone, but if you don't use the microphone, then they won't hear you online, and you also won't be included in the record of this meeting that's being recorded. So just a little bit of awareness there. And then additionally, help us help you tonight. If at any point staff or the applicant uses jargon that you're not familiar with, feel free to just let us know and say, hey, I didn't understand that. What does that mean? We'll be more than happy to find another way to explain it. Sometimes we go into a little bit of a technical term and describe something as a pork chop, and you're like, I don't know what that means. So those are really the key topics to recover before we open up the floor for discussion tonight. Again, just a reminder to be respectful and let folks finish their questions if they're asking questions, or their responses if they're responding to a question. And at that time, we'll go ahead and open it up for questions. Does anyone have one here in person?
And I'll hold it.
Oh, okay. Hi. I'm John Eisenberger. I live on Scioto, which is directly west of the development, and I had a couple of questions. Number one, I noticed on each of the drawings, the original proposed and the new proposed, that the eliminated Oro Valley bike lanes, which are now called multi-use pathways and are not available exclusively for bicycles, have been eliminated in your drawings. Is that actually true, that bicycles will no longer have any lane to use on ski or on Naranja or La Cañada?
No. So I'm sorry if this graphic isn't entirely clear, but we won't be eliminating any bike lanes.
We don't have bike lanes.
And we also, the multi-use path will be relocated around the turn lanes there. So, like, it's a big fat green line. Okay. But also up here and here, just next to that line. So when we push the turn lane out, we're going to reconstruct the multi-use path where it belongs relative to the new curb.
Okay, so we'll have multi-use paths rather than the legally required sidewalks?
Well, we've got sidewalks on one side, and on the east side of La Cañada, multi-use path on the west, which is the way it is today, and we'll just be relocating what's already there today, if that is what you're asking.
Okay, because I don't see any sidewalks on Naranja at all. And then the other question, 28 feet high. I've driven behind those properties on the golf course, and I know that the houses are elevated somewhat, but I can't believe that doesn't impact their views of the mountains. And then the houses directly to the north of the development, those are more at the ground level of this development, and I would think this would be, 100% impacting their views. Has anybody actually been in the backyards of these properties to see what a 28-foot high stick or a balloon or anything would look like up there?
So I've been not into their backyards because I don't want to trespass, but I have stood back in a couple of these spots and back here. So I have a pretty decent understanding of where those views are coming from. Those buildings, they'll be able to see them for sure. That's not something that we're asking for any additional entitlement for. That's actually part of the existing zoning. So, and it is a commercially zoned piece of land. So what we're proposing is within the existing entitlement, which has already been trimmed down. I think the original zoning was 34 or 38 feet or something like that. That's already been cut down.
Okay. Well, the concern is that at the marketplace, they've been changing that height requirement back and forth and all around and still haven't really made a decision that anybody's communicated. If they can't figure out what's going on at the marketplace to do it so it doesn't obstruct views, I really question if they're going to, be responsible enough to do it here.
Well, it's apples and oranges. I mean, the marketplace has got different zoning on it. It's also in a completely different location relative to surrounding homes. It's actually got stronger zoning on it that allows more height. But like I said,
you'll certainly see these buildings. It's a commercial corner, and you would expect to. But what we're going to be doing is provide architecture, nice architecture all the way around with the required screening, lots of landscaping. And so what you'll be looking at really shouldn't be that bad for a commercial parcel.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Oland. Do we have any other questions or comments in the audience here? Go to this.
Hi, I'm Lisa Stiesel. Is there hours of operation that for the coffee shop and or the medical buildings that are going to be a requirement limitation?
Yes. I'm sorry, I had to... So, typical hours of operation for the drive-through are 4:30 to 8. That's typical for a coffee shop in Oro Valley.
4:30
a.m.? Yeah. 8 p.m.? Yeah. So that's what's normal. We looked at some other coffee shops in Oro Valley, and they do open early in the morning, but then they don't tend to stay open very late because people aren't buying that much coffee.
What about the businesses, the medical offices?
I would expect that those just kind of follow typical doctor's office, professional office hours.
Don't know. Okay.
I don't know, yeah.
My next question is, what has been the accident rate at that intersection, and how will these businesses be there impact that, especially with the high school traffic coming through that area as well?
Sure. So our traffic engineer conducted a... impact analysis where they model the existing conditions and then they plug this in with the additional traffic that this is going to be adding, which in the grand scheme of things is really not very much. And they determine that the levels of service that are experienced on these roads will maintain their existing acceptable levels if we add these turn lane extensions. In other words, there's plenty of capacity and there's not a safety issue that they identified after conducting that analysis, and that's been reviewed by town staff as well.
I assume that has been at peak hours that evaluation was done. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Do we have any other questions here in person? All right, let's go to the woman in black there. And again, for those folks online, please use *9 to raise your hands or the raise your hand button to go ahead and be added to the queue.
Hi, my name is Karen Brown, and we live across the street from this in the Eagles Bluff. But every morning, very early, we walk along this path. I'm interested in knowing, from a light pollution standpoint, considering the Dark Skies initiatives, how much light is going to be on the backs of these buildings? Because I know the other, immediately south of here, the strip mall, across the street from where we are now, around the back of that, there's a lot of lighting. And I think that was a bit of a surprise to people who had nice dark skies and unobstructed views of things until those buildings went up.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a good question. So the shopping center to the south, you're talking about the one with the Brugger's and, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that actually has a rear kind of a service drive almost where there's loading zones and refuse and everything like that. That's not at all what we're proposing here. The buildings themselves will form the edge, the development edge. The areas behind the buildings, those aren't intended to be lit for any use. If there's any lighting back there, it'll be the absolute minimum for security purposes. And it'll be fully shielded and won't be allowed to, you know, have any trespass onto neighboring properties.
All right, thank you. We're going to take one more question in person here and then go over to Zoom.
The exit onto Naranja, are you going to be able to make a left, okay, onto Naranja going towards La Cañada, or are you going to be limited that you have to make a right only?
I think the word you use for it is a pork chop.
Yeah, Mr. Packer used the word pork chop. I believe there's a pork chop in the intersection to the south there. Yeah. Yeah, we're not proposing a pork chop or any other cut of curb. The analysis from a traffic standpoint showed that could operate with full movement and operate fine. So that's what we're proposing.
So the way I understand it, I just want to make sure I have it right. If you pulled out and you wanted to make a left, you would have to go through the turn lane, okay, that's there to turn onto La Cañada. Am I correct?
The turn lane, it starts. I don't on this graphic. It's hard to tell where it starts, but then the center turn lane extends further back. So you'd have to turn through that.
There's no center turn lane on Naranja.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I agree. You'd have to turn through that area to make a left. Yeah.
So you have to turn through it. So if traffic is backed up, that traffic's going to be backed up into your.
If traffic is backed up that badly, I think people will make a right.
I'll just add a little bit. My name is David Laws. I work for the town of Oro Valley, engineer for the town. So engineering staff did review this, and that's a very good question. This area, you'll understand, as you approach that intersection is very busy, particularly in the morning. So, you know, when we look at traffic, there's a lot of things to consider. There is a pork chop on the south side. But we also know pork chops don't always work as intended. I mean, you know, some drivers see those as maybe a recommendation as opposed to a requirement. So sometimes those pork chops can actually create a bigger issue than if it wasn't there. So something we'll have to monitor. If it becomes a true issue, then, you know, it's something we'd have to address. But one of the things that we look at when it comes to traffic is typically as a driver, just think about how you drive your own vehicle. If you see a backup of traffic, more than likely you're going to try to find another way. So if you look at the way this layout is designed, the exit to the drive-through is very close to the exit onto La Cañada. So if your goal is to go south towards Tucson, more than likely, when you come out of that drive-through, you're going to turn right and then turn right onto La Cañada. The probability of you wanting to then snake back south through that parking lot to get to Naranja to take a left, it's probably going to be a lot lower. Like Mr. Olin mentioned, if you're stuck there, you're more than likely going to take a right. Okay.
Thank you. All right, at this time, we're going to go over to Zoom. Again, folks on Zoom, feel free to raise your hands. I'll ask at this time if, Carlos, you could unmute Nellie Ziegler. All right, and Nellie, you may need to unmute yourself on your end.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I live in Eagles Bluff also, and I had a similar question, very similar to the one that was just asked about Naranja, and would you be able to turn left to get into that, to get towards that light? I find that to be very congested. And when there's school traffic, that left turn lane going towards La Cañada can sometimes back up all the way to Eagles Bluff, so that it's hard to turn left into Eagles Bluff. So that if you were coming out of this proposed property and you wanted to turn left, I think that there would be many times it might be congested. When we had the meeting before, one of the people that lived in Scioto said that one of their concerns is people would make a right turn and then they would come and go through their neighborhood. we find in Eagles Bluff a lot of people who come and then turn into our neighborhood to turn around. I don't know that everybody would go all the way to La Cholla. I think some people might find a different way. So you'll have people going through neighborhoods that aren't doing that now. So my concern was just about how the traffic would flow through this development, how they would come into the coffee shop, go out of the coffee shop. And I'm very concerned about the turning into Naranja.
Sure. So I guess maybe it would help just to kind of run through scenarios here.
And so, oh, one more thing. Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
I don't know what a pork chop is.
A pork chop is a little enclosed curb area that attempts to or suggests to people that they shouldn't make a left out, but they can make a right in and right out. So just north of the Brugger's Bagels, for example, if you think about that entry and exit off of Naranja, there's a little curbed area there right in the middle of that intersection that you'd kind of have to drive over if you wanted to make a left out. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just running through a few scenarios here. So, if you are on this property and it's rush hour and turn lanes are backed up, around, if you wanted to go west, toward La Cholla, that's an easy right-hand turn out onto Naranja. That would be a free flow. If you wanted to go east on Naranja, you would exit onto La Cañada and then jump over into the turn lane on La Cañada. Or if your intent was to go south, that's obviously a right-hand turn. And if you wanted to go north on La Cañada, you'd also jump into the right turn or the left turn lane and make a U-turn there. So the number of people wanting to make a left-hand turn out going eastbound onto Naranja, who would choose to do that when it's congested rather than taking the much easier route, which is to get onto La Cañada and then go in the direction they were intending. I don't think very many people will choose that. And that's part of the reason why we designed the site this way, is to encourage people to use the dominant road, which is La Cañada. And once you get to that intersection, you've got more options.
All righty, thank you. Again, folks online, feel free to raise your hands or press *9 to use the phone to do so. I don't see any further raised hands on Zoom at this time, so I'm going to go back into our live audience and ask folks if you've got any more questions or comments at this time. So we've got one.
My name is Todd Fedoric. I'm over at Eagles Bluff as well. I'm a board member there. Eagles Bluff was your area B, southwest corner of this quadrant. I question the validity and the thoroughness of the traffic study, because once again, the issue I see is if I want to go eastbound on Naranja, I have to go to the north exit, cross all the lanes on a congested La Cañada Drive to get over to the left turn lane, and then make my left turn onto Naranja again. And as my wife had commented, that we use the multi-use path every day, north, south, east, west. And we're talking about a coffee shop. You're going to have a lot of people lined up, desperate to get their coffee and then get going again. And I also see that as a safety issue for the pedestrians and the cyclists on that multi-use path. You know, we've all been talking about people surrounded by steel and glass, but we're not talking about people surrounded by spandex and the sweatshirts. So I was at the original meeting back in 2019, and the issue wasn't the medical buildings and so forth. The issue was the coffee shop. When you go into the medical building, you drive, you park your car, you get your standard 45-minute wait, and then you get your appointment. If you're going through a drive-through for a coffee shop, and I understand the only way this plan works is if there's a coffee shop on the property. That was what was proposed or mentioned back in 2019. This thing doesn't fly unless there's a coffee shop. And you don't have that problem to the south. People park their cars, they get their bagels, they get their burritos, they get their pizza. You know, so you don't have that constant change and flow of traffic crossing over those either the sidewalk or, in this case, the multi-use path. And I think that my impression that I've been getting from the people here and from the previous meeting is that's the issue, is the multiple cars coming and going on that corner. Even though it is zoned for commercial, you know, the other commercial area doesn't have a drive-through. That's just my comment.
Mr. Rowland, do you have any response to that at this time? Or?
Well, I mean, a couple things. You know, one is that I do, believe it or not, hear on most projects that the traffic study is suspect because if it shows that the impacts of the project can be mitigated and that the acceptable levels of service on the public roads is or will continue to be good and high, like they are in most places in Oro Valley, then people tend to see those results as dubious. But I think, you know, what it comes down to is folks get used to a level of traffic congestion that is well below the capacity of the roads. And so, you know, any increase is seen as something that's, you know, not good. But there is a balance, and we've got some significant public infrastructure here that's meant to support uses like this at this location. And there is ample capacity, and we've looked at this. We realize that, of course, there is an interface where pedestrians and vehicles will interface, right, at those two entries. Well, hopefully not, right? One of the benefits of extending the southbound turn lane there is to get the bike lane that is there, get those folks onto the other side of turning vehicles further north to eliminate, you know, any jostling that might happen down here. You know, and at the end of the day, you've got stop signs and crosswalks and stop bars and laws that people, drivers and bicyclists, all need to follow. And people don't always follow them, and accidents do happen. But this design here does provide, you know, good stacking for vehicles. It's got great visibility. There's nowhere on here where there's going to be bicyclists popping out from behind a corner, for example. So motorists are going to have plenty of ability to look up and down any exit point and look for bicyclists. So do accidents happen? Yes, of course. But does this design address it as well as it should and could? And can the infrastructure certainly support it? Absolutely.
All right, thank you. Looks like we've got one more question here.
Just a quick question. That property is zoned for stores, buildings, small office buildings, but it's not zoned for a drive-thru, am I correct?
It's zoned for restaurants, hotel, things like that.
But no drive-thru.
Drive-thru requires a conditional use permit that I need to show.
I just wanted to make sure I understood that. Okay, you've got to get past that first.
100%, absolutely, yeah. And that's, Mr. Packer mentioned that the criteria for a conditional use permit, which is the additional entitlement that we're seeking for the drive-thru, which is required for all drive-thrus in Oro Valley, you have to demonstrate that it doesn't have an undue impact in terms of noise and odors. And
I just wanted to make sure I understood that.
Yep, you're right.
Okay, great. And then, Hannah, we had one over here as well.
I've just gotten a little confused. You keep talking about bike lanes. Oro Valley has no bike lanes, according to the town attorney, and according to the head of the planning department. Do we have a lane, and you talk about multi-use or multi-purpose lanes, are there La Cañada, on the east side, is there one lane on the in the pavement, in the street, and that's a multi-use or multi-purpose lane, and then an additional cement lane or paved lane above the curb? Or is there just one lane altogether? Because I don't see any lane in the street in any of your drawings.
Okay. So are we talking about La Cañada, you said? Okay. So moving east to west across La Cañada, within the public right-of-way, you've got a sidewalk that's outside the curb. Then you've got a curb. Then you've got a lane. And I don't know if you want to call that a multi-use lane or multi-use. I'm sorry. I wasn't aware of that legal distinction. I will try to not use the word bike lane in Oro Valley anymore. I'm also curious as to why that's important. But got it. Okay.
Repainted off the signs in the bike lanes with black paint to eliminate the bike lanes that did exist in Oro Valley because they failed to meet code.
Oh, okay. I learn something new every day. So you've got the sidewalk, then the curb, then the multi-use lane within the curb, two lanes of traffic, another curb, the landscape median, another curb on the other side of landscape median, two more lanes of traffic, another multi-use lane, the turn lane, a curb, and then a multi-use path outside the curb. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry for the confusion.
We've got one more question in the audience here. Again, if you're online on Zoom, feel free to raise your hands.
So is it possible just to eliminate the drive-through and have the coffee shop?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Because modern coffee shops rely on drive-through traffic to operate, and that's just the way it is in America. And Brugger's isn't doing well enough.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, do we have any other questions online or in person? All right, not seeing any at this time. We're going to go ahead again. If you do have questions or comments after this, feel free to come up to staff or the applicant here. We'll be more than happy to chat with you. Otherwise, at this time, I'd like to go ahead and remind folks that the next tentative meeting for this project will be the Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing on January 10th. And I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. If you've got any other questions or comments that you don't want to ask in person or online, if you're with us online, feel free again to reach out to Hannah Oden, the principal planner or the senior planner on this project, at hoden@orovalleyaz.gov. And check ovprojects.com for more information on this project as it becomes available. Thank you and have a wonderful evening.